Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. We would like to welcome you to the Old Testament poetry class. We are in Psalm 128 today. Psalm 128, if you'd be so kind as to turn there in your Bibles. We'll get started with this lesson. The lesson is entitled, The Blessings of Family. The Blessings of Family. Okay. Is everybody there? Appreciate it. Very good. Let's start the lesson off with the reading of God's Holy Word. Quote, Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. End quote. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading and hearing of His word. Martin Luther titled this psalm, The Wedding Song. And historically, it has been used in various Jewish and Christian weddings. This psalm somewhat follows the basic train of thought of the previous psalm, Psalm 127, but really it is not connected to it in any way. Now, here we have a continuous blessing pronounced on the head of the family, and through his faithfulness, the entire family is blessed, including his children's children. It is an observable principle in the Old Testament that God blesses a faithful man's children for his sake, as seen through the patriarchs found in Genesis. This also is a fundamental principle in covenant theology's approval of infant baptism. One person in a family turning to Christ sometimes, not often, but sometimes, results in the conversion of the entire family. And I'm not sure of the percentage rates of that. So that's up to God's will there. I don't know what the percentage of... If somebody in the family gets saved, then what is the percentage rate of the others in the family getting saved also? I'm inclined myself, personally, to think that it's a high percentage. But I don't know. I'm not sure. If somebody can do some research on that, that would be great. One person in a family turning to Christ does influence the others, and the neighbors. The one who chooses a righteous mate, that is, one who serves the Lord in word and deed, has chosen wisely and will be rewarded in this life as well as in the next. Verse 1, quote, Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, end quote. Now, before we go into this too deeply, I would like to turn your attention briefly to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, Psalm 128 has to do with the blessings of being faithful to God and obeying Him. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a big contrast to this. So, we're not going to read it today, but I would like to encourage you to read it So you can contrast it in your own mind, the curses instead of blessings of disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, this first verse is an easy and simple definition of fearing the Lord. Some people don't know what it means to fear the Lord, but basically, to fear the Lord is to walk in His ways. Those ways are the ways of righteousness. Righteousness includes many things, and thus ways here is in the plural. As a child often imitates the parent, so the child of God bears His image in the lifestyle that is led. Those in whom righteousness shines through to those who are either not looking for it or suspect what it even is, are they who are often labeled as a good person by the general observer. Like Christ, as He revealed His true nature of holiness during the Transfiguration, a faithful child of God also reveals their inner nature through their God-given virtue that only speaks of regeneration. The word that describes their lives is blessed. This does not necessarily mean that these people are blessed in earthly ways such as wealth, position, power, health, or popularity, but it can include those things. Those who are truly happy or blessed, truly happily blessed, let's say that, by God, are those who are content in whatsoever situation they are in. As the Apostle Paul so stated in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, which says, "For I have learned," this is Paul speaking, something that he personally has learned, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, and this to be content." Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. This is a fundamental principle of faith and patience in the Lord. The words walketh. The word walketh indicates a present continuous action in our language. Faith is ongoing, growing, continuously strengthening, as one matures in the Lord. Verse 2, quote, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee," end quote. Here we see the biblical principle of working for earthly rewards. When one does well here on earth, some sort of compensation usually occurs. This, in a way, pictures a Christian who works faithfully for the Lord. They are promised heavenly rewards waiting for us if we do well and please the Lord with our humble, faithful service. As illustrated in many ways throughout history, our work does not have to be world famous to be pleasing to our Lord. We don't do things for the Lord to make a show of it. The labor of our hands, means. Somebody was asking me about that. What labor? We are to work for the Lord as He has so instructed. We don't need, or should be, we should not be lazy. And thus, we need to provide for ourselves and our family. One only has to read the book of Proverbs to know that it's not good to be lazy, and that is condemned, because it is the wrong path to take. Let's read what Proverbs says about this. Quote, "I went by the field of the slothful," this is Solomon here, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and needles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come like one that travaileth with child, one that travaileth, and thy want like an armed man. End quote. The only economic system that really permits a person to enjoy the fruit of the labor is called capitalism. Capitalism can be abused. But anyways, socialism and communism takes part of that which was rewarded for good labor from a person and gives it to someone else in an act of what best can be described as forced charity. Whether the laborer approves of the whole thing or not, he usually doesn't have much choice in how his money is being spent. Capitalism is the most biblical in its nature, with its concept of the buy and trade, buy and sell, the trade system that usually holds both parties in a transaction as equal and equally responsible. Quote, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, end quote, means that a person has earned sustenance for his or her well-being. It is something they labor for, something they can receive that will help them, that is needed. It is the laborer's reward to dispose of this as they see fit. Now, God sees to it that we receive an earthly reward for our labor, as well as a heavenly reward for acts of faith. It is part of our promised blessings. Now, the early colonies in America followed this biblical principle in order to survive. Even Paul states, quote, if any would not work, neither should he eat, end quote. That's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, which is a principle that follows the line of the idea of not being lazy, not expect other people to take care of you, to be independent, self-sustaining, more or less, not having to rely on others. So we're not to be lazy. Industry is not a bad thing, even though much modern propaganda is covering the earth that attempts to say otherwise, trying to shut down industry. When they shut down industry, they shut down jobs. So industry really isn't a bad thing. Now, waste is a bad thing, but especially the waste of a person's life. There is much talk about pollution these days concerning the environment, yet there is little talk about the pollution of the mind with self-defeating, undermining philosophy. That is being called education in government schools. The philosophy of the day, which works hand in hand with communism, is called irrationalism. This philosophy, which is a complete reversal of the Age of Reason, which occurred a few centuries ago, emphasizes emotion and things of the heart as being more important and the standard of life than facts and logic. Now that, to me, doesn't make sense, but that's the whole idea of being irrational, I suppose. Such facts are what you want them to be in this philosophy. Facts are what you want them to be using this train of thought and carrying it out. And then, if that's true, math doesn't require a correct mathematical answer. Also, you can be what you want to be. So if you want to be a woman when you're really a man, born male, then you can be one. You can be a U.S. Senator of European descent and proclaim you are an American Indian. Correct math answers are wrong, and those who seek to work with facts and logic are condemned. They're usually labeled with terms like racist, or that's because they're condemned because they're not following irrationality. Now, this philosophy throws out all logical standards and actually lends itself to immorality, unethical behavior, as well as ultimately chaos. The destruction of known systems is the result. The educational system, which adopts this philosophy, only teaches its students, therefore, self-destruction, and thus the eventual overthrow of society, history, the sciences, tradition, and eventually an entire nation. People just will be confused, and the nation will fall apart, sort of like the Tower of Babel, where people couldn't understand each other, didn't make sense anymore. Those who believe the Word of God must follow its principles faithfully, as the psalmist describes, as fearing the Lord, and thus avoid the destruction of the individual person, as we see going on today. Individuals are not being educated to think for themselves, as they once were, but instead are trained into what should be considered group think. Group think is necessary for collectivism to gain control of the minds of people, and thus simply gain total control. Freedom is then what the group is told and is only artificial. People can own nothing and be happy, as the popular saying presently goes. So, of course, this is contrary to biblical teaching and is therefore wrong. It is obviously wrong. To me, it doesn't make sense. It strips people of their rights and their freedom. The biblical principle here is that Christ came to set us free and to break the chains of slavery. We don't want to reinstitute slavery and make our children and children's children slaves because they have to rely on authorities. They can't think or do for themselves. So no Christian should be enslaved by the things of this world. We overcome all through Christ. Happiness comes through knowing and obeying Christ. Happiness isn't just emotions, but blessedness that the world cannot give. It definitely includes peace, both internal and with God. Verse 3. Quote, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. End quote. Verse 3. The word wife is used, not woman. So we see the blessed and happy life is found in marriage. This principle eliminates the concept of cohabitation for happiness, for blessedness. Common law marriage doesn't bring happiness or blessedness. And having friends with benefits doesn't bring happiness or blessedness, because these ideas do not bring happiness in the overall long run. It will catch up to you. So, also, concerning marriage, celibacy. Celibacy was not made to fulfill God's plan in creation, but rather tends to negate it. Gay couples negates or attempts to negate God's plan in creation. If a person is not willing to commit to marriage, then they are not committed to the relationship. It's just that simple. And there is really nothing very solid in that. And any kind of similar tie between two people. Quote, by the sides of the house, end quote. Or instead of sides, it could be translated corners. Corners. C-O-R-N-E-R-S. Now this points out that the entire house takes on from corner to corner. The entire house takes on the tendencies of the wife. She decorates and cares for the children there. She cares for the home with loving, tender, loving care, because it is theirs, it is hers, they are hers. The man is her husband, and she is his wife, which shows a mutual relationship of commitment, possession, and equality. Unlike some false religions, the wife is not viewed in Christianity as a mere possession. Verses 4 through 6, from behold and to the end, these verses we have here we are encouraged to observe the promised blessings of the Lord for a long, happy life that benefits both the family and ultimately the entire nation. People are given the free choice of what lifestyle that they want to live, but basically there really are only two to choose from. First one is a godly life. The second is a life of self-centeredness. You are the center of the universe. You're the captain of your fate. The first, the life of godliness, has long-lasting rewards. The second, the life of self-centeredness, has only temporary rewards. By obeying the call of God through grace to abandon the vanity of this world and turn to Christ by faith, if you do that, you shall begin a new life of blessed happiness in a new forever family. With that thought, let's close this lesson on the blessings of family with a word of prayer. Let's bow. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for bringing us into the family of God. We thank Thee for Your blessings. Your great words of just being with Thee and having fellowship with Thee, Heavenly Father, through the Son. Thank Thee for the Holy Spirit indwelling in us and guiding and directing us. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. We thank thee that thou art our heavenly Father. We ask now that you'll be with the words of this lesson. We ask that you'll guide and direct us and bless us in our families and our lives as we build homes. We ask your blessings upon each one in the family and for the gift of faith, protection, instruction, and righteousness. We also now ask that you'll be with all the other requests we have that we share. Help us, Lord, to uphold these before thee faithfully. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with thanksgiving. Amen.